This is the Celestial Goddess Podcast. Let's grow and show up with more compassion. I love you. Welcome, welcome. Thank you everyone for being here. My name is Corinne and I have these amazing, I want to say like water goddesses. I get this like water, calm, intuitive, healing energy from you guys. So Paula, Paula and Maya here with me. Welcome back, Maya. Now we have your lovely mother with us. So thank you guys for being here.
I'm delighted to be with you.
Oh gosh, it's always a dream with you guys, always. Yeah. Oh, I just like want to take a deep breath and just ground into this moment with each other. Birthing this new age into creation. Yeah. Assisting this new earth that we are moving into, vibrating into. And I'm so happy to be doing it with you guys. And I'm happy we're flowing together and creating more love on the planet. Oh, so grateful, so grateful.
Gratitude.
It's powerful frequency, right? Yeah. So powerful. I feel like the magic starts with gratitude.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Power Versus Force by, it's a great book. Ooh. And in that book, it talks about the vibration of different emotions, energy in motion that we're experiencing in the body. And so gratitude is right up there with joy, love, bliss. Aww. And so, and gratitude is an easy one for us to connect to, right? Because we typically can always find something that we feel grateful for, right? And maybe that's just the breath, you know, at that moment, or maybe it's the fact that we got up.
Absolutely.
And just to be, you know, to feel that gratitude. So,
so powerful.
Yeah, it really is.
Consciousness.
Elevated emotion. Energy in motion.
I like that. Energy in motion. And elevating through just that mindfulness of what we're putting that energy into.
I've been, I had a conversation this morning with Tracy about the concept of a walking meditation. And I know Tanika mentioned it with you as well. And just, you know, I can't help but immediately want to talk about the concept that I lost my phone. It's been such a big thing for me. And I feel like one of the many things that I've gained out of it, I'm on like day 10 now of no phone, is walking meditation and shifting into higher waves of consciousness. You know, as to me, my phone created a lot of separation and distraction from presence. And so now without this, what I my interpretation of my relationship with my phone was a burden. And without the burden, I'm able to practice presence in the moments and shifting into higher waves of consciousness. I feel like my phone didn't allow that for me. I'm not sure, you know, how much studies have been done as far as our relationship with our phone and how we shift as a human when we're on our phone. I think there's pros and cons. I think we can learn a lot from the information, but I feel it's really pulled me from presence and reconnecting to that presence practice, to elevated emotions and
I'd like to kind of speak to that because I come from a generation that we didn't have a computer in our pocket. And
and you're 50.
Almost 58.
May 9th, right?
May 9th. Hey, I remember. And so, thank you.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday coming up. I'll be here on Sunday.
Mother's Day.
Yes, powerful.
Mother's Day this year. Yeah. But it, I had kind of an epiphany just recently, again. And it's kind of like this comes in waves. So I believe that we probably are receiving messages or downloads when we're ready to receive it. Sometimes I think we're still not ready, but this has been escalating, this download or this awareness that I've had around technology. Now, I am known around my family and friends that I am not into technology. Like, it's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, yeah, and I always say that's why I teach yoga, because I'd much rather have that kind of experience than the experience of technology. Mm-hmm. But just traveling recently, being at the airport and waiting for the plane, and there was probably, 150 people waiting for the plane, and all of them, with the exception of maybe two, were staring at their phones. And that separation, this speaks to that separation.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have become so addicted, and you and I just had this conversation, you know, this addiction that we have to our technology. And the truth is that we are being encouraged and supported to have that addiction. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Everything in our world right now is supporting us to, you know, to have that connection. And I think that there are uses for it, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to kind of check in with that, because just as you said, you know, your presence has been much more profound without constantly referring to your phone and mm-hmm. checking in mm-hmm. with whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that for myself as well. When we moved out to the property and we didn't have cell phone reception, and man, I went through truly like
a detox
for days, because I couldn't check. I mean, I didn't have phone reception, we didn't have internet reception, and it was like unplugged and not prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we didn't sign up for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It just so happened. And so I don't know, that was a real eye opener.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that you've touched on that, because I do think that that's a real thing for our society.
Yeah. And the balance too, because, you know, as anything, there are pros and cons to it. I feel like I'm at a place where the cons were outweighing the pros of my relationship with my phone. And I had the little tracker. It tells me how many hours I was up mm-hmm. to, like 5 hours a day that I was on my phone. And a lot of it is business. There's no doubt, but it'll draw me in with business. And then everything is at my fingertips. And so I just start going into this hole of my phone. And it's mm-hmm. so... We talked about the concept, because I have a MacBook and using my MacBook now instead of my phone, and you can close a MacBook.
Ooh,
whereas
yes.
your phone, the screen is so readily available. You mm-hmm. just look at it and it knows and it lights up. And
right.
it's like, I know you're looking at
buzz,
me.
Buzz.
Yeah. Mm. So just the energetic exchange with my phone. You know, and Phil bought me a new phone and put me on his company plan, and it was sitting on the counter last night, like waiting for me.
It is. It's like, come on, look at me, play with me. It's almost like a needy girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's like, you don't need anybody else.
Yeah.
I even saw that in like a cartoon. They kind of changed it like that. They made it this girlfriend that's like, no, just come and hang out with me, baby. You know, you want to, you know, scroll through me and hang out with me and love me. And you don't need your friends. You don't need your responsibilities. Just come over here.
What a metaphor.
It really does, right? It's like that black hole. Like, I almost see it like a black hole. You do fall in this like bottomless pit.
Mm-hmm.
And even I get trapped into it too. It's something like sticky energetically. I feel like the phones know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and there's even a documentary about it, right? Where they have...
The social dilemma.
I think you're right. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where it's like they're always listening and always trying to show you something that might drag you in.
Oh, what about, you know, you have a conversation and then all of a sudden there's advertising for it, you know? I mean, that's just like... totally creepy. And
That was something else that I felt like angry actually when I saw the phone sitting. I haven't taken it out of the box yet. I'm not sure I will. I haven't decided. I want to be very intentional with how I move forward, but I was angry that I had welcomed it into my home and into my sacred space. Right. And I felt like it was separating me from my husband and me from my kids. And anyone that would come into my home, anytime that would ding, it was like that was more important than them. And I was distracted by who wants to talk to me. Oh, I'm, you know, I'm so needed.
Right.
And that needs my attention right now. I need to immediately. And now with using my laptop more, I'm sitting down. I'm intentional. I'm opening it up. Mm-hmm. I'm reaching out to whoever I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then I close it. And it's a way. I mean, I can't walk around with a laptop everywhere.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly what the balance is, but I sure as heck know that I wasn't in balance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I spoke with you last time, kind of creating a new foundation of what's right, I think that less time with that and just more presence.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I'm not one to, you know, be a super social media. It was definitely surrounded around business. I would look at sales and make things for promotions, and I was like the social media campaign person.
Right.
And so there's
a
lot of
she's our technology.
Yes,
like account maintenance and all sorts of things. And I would let people control all moments of my day without boundaries. So if I saw a text message from a student, I would respond right away rather than like 24 hours, I think is realistic. Like if you text in, like that's an okay amount of time to like get back with you, you know?
Right.
And like these expectations of myself to be so plugged in and so like, oh,
right. Yeah. Everything nowadays I feel like is so plugged in, and it's hard when so much, I mean, it's beautiful that everyone can work for themselves now. I love all these opportunities on the internet, but that's where it gets blurry, like you said, because it's like you're there for business, but then it traps you with something else or, you know, feeling constantly needed. But like going back to, you know, your time, like you said, it's like people could, like, if I'm out, I'm out. Like, you can't get a hold of me. Like,
that's
I'm
right.
doing my own thing. I'm able to decompress, be with my people.
Yes.
And not always be, you know, pulled at the, feel like my chains are being pulled.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and it almost
tethers.
Is. Tethers, exactly, right? These cords, energetic tethers and cords. And having, I mean, I think that's so beautiful. I'm so happy you named using your laptop, because right there is a good lesson of like, okay, I'm using this for business.
Mm-hmm.
Intentional, making up a word. Intentional about what I'm putting into it, and being able to close it and not always be accessible, not always, you know, or find that. I mean, it's hard, right? When you run your own business, you're working every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, you still deserve your humanness and your family time and your peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think something out of all of this, what I'm gathering from you and me and all of us, is in living intentionally. And I think that's something we all ultimately are striving. And to me, it's kind of like the puzzle pieces of life is to live intentionally, whatever your purpose is, whatever your passions are, and to do that with intention, to be present with our intentions. And I feel like my relationship with my phone became unintentional. It was no longer me using my phone, it was my phone using me. And it was no longer an intentional relationship. It was very unintentional.
Yeah.
My fingers would automatically push into things that and I knew it as it was happening. It was like, what am I doing? And the algorithms of my fingers, they knew exactly how to serve my brain in that way. And the stimulation and learning how to, again, reset the nervous system.
Yeah, and they literally say it's like drugs. It's like that dopamine
kick.
It's almost like your phone is like,
and then as we those synaptic nerve endings in the brain, as they, you know, they become stronger and stronger, and so it is a physical addiction that we create with that.
Yeah,
you know, and it's
And
hence
it becomes
the reason for
unintentional. It becomes an addiction, which is not intentional.
Yeah, and then your phone uses you. Like, that's super powerful you name that. I feel like that's so common, but not, no one's aware that your phone's using you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't let people use you. Don't let your phone use you either.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, even if it's not this mean, you know, it's still taking your energy. It's still taking your mindfulness from you. Like, there's no meaning in it, you know?
I felt like it was against me in a lot of ways, too. I would open up social media, and they would immediately, the first four that they would put for me were, like, ones they knew I would be triggered and, like, you know, it was, like, it became a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
And I agree. If we don't allow that from other people, why would I allow that with any relationship?
Right.
My phone being one of those relationships. But
so this speaks to a lot of what we are trying to cultivate here is self-awareness, right, through the different classes. And I think right now that could be one of the greatest gifts that we give ourselves is self-awareness. And for me, you know, I've carried a lot of, let's call it baggage, for many years. And so working on self-awareness all of my adult life, and still, you know, struggling to become more aware and to be more in tune and more in touch with, you know, my essence, rather than the ideas that society lets me believe that I am, right?
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons I'm really happy to have you know, the environment here that supports you in self-awareness and self-discovery.
Absolutely.
Because I and I'll call it self-discovery because, or remembering, because I think that at our essence, it is what we already are, right? And so we have come here with amnesia to our to our actual potential. And the environment for the last 20 years has been to create these things that sidetrack us from what we really are. And yeah, so, you know, by you expressing this, it can bring some awareness to each of us on, you know, our relationship with technology and AI, for that matter.
Well, and not just technology too, but you know, the way that we're intertwining ourselves with our world, you know,
entanglement.
Right. So we went into the soul shala today, and this safe container away from external stimulation, you know, you can't even see like cars. It's like, you know, a safe space. And I think it's easy in those containers to feel safe, to have the space to restore and find peace, and to connect into that. It's the leaving the walls and going into the external stimulation and still maintaining that relationship with peace and feeling safe beyond the walls of the space. I think it's important to have the time to access, you know, that sensation, so that when you're in the external world, you're able to easily reconnect with that sensation. But I feel it correlates with all relationships, you know, not just my relationship with my phone right now, but noticing how I can hold peace and be softer within all spaces, and more present within all spaces, and outside of that, those walls. And what continues to come up for me is the phrasing of restoring the nervous system. And I feel like for most of us right now, the shock or the trauma of this last year has been a big year for everyone. And our relationships with our phone, most everyone, their use of technology has increased in the last year. And the stimulation that has created. I mean, I would have days where I was on just discovering what the heck was happening in the world. And I remember one time you came over and you were like, were you on technology all day? I can tell. Like, wow. You are in a dark, dark place. And it's that stimulation of downloading and processing, and like, we are human bodies trying to download a technology database mm. into our human form. Like, it mm. doesn't match up.
Right.
We're too pure for this. Yeah. You know, we can only handle so much.
Right.
And understanding that about ourselves, like, it has shot my nervous system. I know this. I know that I have the last 10 days, 11 days, however long it's been, of no phone. I'm restoring myself into a place where it's okay to surrender. Like, my heart palpitations have stopped. Mm. I'm starting to sleep at night. Like,
wow.
These things that I kind of thought were normal. Like,
yeah.
People feel these things. Like, they're kind of normal.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, that's okay. Yeah.
It's not normal.
Yeah.
Like, we should not be overloaded so much to the point where these things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's so true.
All of this external stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I love what you said, too. It's kind of like, to me, it makes me like kind of go back to those tribal days of living in tribes, living with each other. We are still humans. It's like, we aren't meant to be exposed to millions of people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so much, like you said, all this data of these infinite technology systems. Like, our spirit, our soul, our humanness can only take so much. So I can't...
Oh, that's interesting,
you know?
Because... I have a friend, and I don't want to misquote this, but I want to give you kind of an idea about this. So there is a gentleman that studies essentially the data that we are exposed to on a daily basis, and he has a measurement for this data, and so I'm not sure about the actual numbers, but this is how it felt to me when she told me the actual numbers, is that even 100 years ago, we were receiving 2 bits of this measurement every day. And that was more conducive to the human body.
Mm-hmm.
But now we are well over 140 of those bits daily. So we're talking about, such an increase of this external stimulation. And frankly, that's why mindfulness is so important right now, because everything around us is supporting us to be, constantly barraged with information.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes us away from our essence, because it's creating this scenario where we are connected to external information rather than going within.
Right, and everything's
right?
within.
Everything
yeah.
is
Everything.
Within.
Mm-hmm.
But we're led to believe that that's, and we're supported that that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is... that's part of the contrast that we're experiencing right now. I think that, however, I don't like the contrast that we're experiencing right now with the separation, the division, or the perceived division.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's almost imperative that we see that aspect of humanity right now, so that we know that that's not what we want and that's not what we really are. And it's through that exposure and that experience that we can come to the conclusion, or the truth, our truth, that really what we are is unified, but we're being made to believe that that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do feel like there's an awakening happening, that people are beginning to realize that. And had we not, gone through the last year and some of the decisiveness amongst peoples, we might not be given, we might not take this opportunity that we're being given right now. Mm-hmm. So I have hope.
Yes.
I have hope that we are coming into an age where we're utilizing the tools, we're learning about the tools mm-hmm. that can make us more mindful and to have self-reflection and be able to go within and really find our answers there rather than looking outside of ourselves.
Yes.
And, that's my hope for not only my family, my community, my kula, but for the world as a whole, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that, Maya having this realization on her relationship with phone and how that extends out to other ideas of relationships, it's just another poke or another nudge at us. Okay, pay attention here.
Yes.
What are you learning from this? Or what are you remembering from this?
Mm-hmm.
And then we get another one. And again, we were talking about, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, right?
Yes.
And so sometimes we're not prepared to receive that information, but we keep creating new baselines of what we're able to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I may be exposed to something and at first I have resistance to it, but it's planted a seed in me. And so the next time I'm exposed to something similar to that, I'm going to be a little bit more open-minded about exploring it.
Yeah.
And then the next time it might become, more of a value that I can believe. And so it just keeps escalating to, a new era.
Yes.
And so my hope is that that's my idea is that's what's happening.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like it is.
Yeah.
And the word that kept coming through, I'm like, be quiet. I'm trying to listen. Just the word integrating. Yeah, just like I said with you guys, I feel like intention. When I think of you guys, I just think of intention and just like the integration. Like we really are just remembering our power, being able to get, swoop away all these distractions,
you know,
whether it's these phone relationships not serving us, people not serving us, jobs not serving
us,
and taking that time out in nature with your loved ones so we can integrate and remember what's truly going on. Because now, what you said about, it's like we would sit with two bits of information. Now we have to sit with 140 plus, so it really just that power of simplicity and coming back to, okay, what's feeling good in my heart right now? What's my intuition telling me? What's my nudge pushing me towards? What seeds could I be watering for my greatness, for potential,
I've been really checking in with, so many of us are on automatic pilot.
Yes.
Like we're in survival mode. And so part of, the
there's
work.
Correlation again to the root chakra, right?
Survival.
Yeah. So we are so much in survival mode.
Oh, yeah.
We're restoring our systems as a whole, as a earth right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, moving out of that survival. Sorry. Yeah.
I
keep seeing this building, this growth, from the root. And survival for me has been a huge thing. I mean, on the last one with you, it was like I'm eating.
Right. So true. I know.
Like if I can eat, and that's great.
It's like so many of us are living in that survival mode. We may not even realize it, especially with social media distracting or posting this, life looks like this. But really, these simple things. I mean, I feel like when I kind of first had my awakening or awareness to mindfulness, I was so much so in my root chakra. And I mean, I still work through it. I mean, every day is a journey. But I know just simple things of feeling safe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a just truly feeling safe in my environment, with my family, with my people, with my Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's just a huge thing I've been working on, always will. But mm-hmm. yeah, being able mm-hmm. to then just move up into then creation and mm-hmm. more love and more mm-hmm. intuition and mm-hmm. just letting it all kind of flow as a whole.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad you named that because, mm-hmm. yeah, just aware of that root chakra energy, mm-hmm. survival mode energy that a lot of us are in and yeah. I didn't even realize it.
Well, this is it. As we are, it's like we have blinders on. And so totally. we're just moving through each day. And for a lot of us, our days don't have real meaning anymore.
Yes.
Right? Because we are just moving through it.
Mm.
And not really experiencing. Exactly. We're not really experiencing it. So, you know, that's part of the work that I've been doing lately is wherever I seem to be in that moment, kind of checking in with myself. Now, how does this make me feel right now? Is this something that I want to cultivate in my life?
Yeah.
Or do I need to sever this? Or do I need to not give it the energy? Because I've come to learn that my energy is a commodity. It's not that it's limited, but it is, I have to be very careful on where I'm allowing it to flow.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's taken me, you know, most of my life to get to this point where I can, or it's become important for me to check in with myself. This doesn't feel quite right to me. So I have to decide, am I going to continue with whatever this scenario is right now, or am I going to take steps to pull away from it and not have this in my life right now?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard work to do. Because what happens is, for me, speaking just for myself, it means severing things that maybe you've had for a good portion of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it also means being selfish. And when you are a server, mm-hmm. it's hard to be selfish because that that doesn't necessarily feel natural.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been a huge shadow aspect that I've been working on is allowing myself to know where I really want to put my energy and then going with that rather than doing it because I think I should.
So I have had similar experience with food that came up. There's like a lot of like fasting or like diets, cutting things out. And I had to reframe it for myself. You know, you can talk about different relationships, severing certain things in our life that we know are toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's times where it's crucial, like for me right now with my phone, it got to the point where it was so toxic that it's like I have to completely sever and rebuild whatever this new relationship is going to be for me with technology. But in essence of severing and knowing, you know, what's next in the relationship, tapping into what feels good, when I was in a place of survival and observing my relationship with food, I knew there were certain foods that were not benefiting me.
Mm-hmm.
And the common practice I find in diet culture and in our society is to eliminate an elimination diet.
Right.
And it felt, I'm already in a place of survival. How can I eliminate even more? Like I'm already in a place of feeling lack.
Right.
And so reframing it for myself rather than eliminating, what can I add instead? And, you know, I'm at the same place with my phone now of eliminating, yes, but what is it that I'm adding now? I'm not just minusing. I'm not just sucking out.
Right.
But what is it now that I'm adding in? And so same thing with certain relationships, not just completely, but what is it that I can add in? And maybe those relationships will, we can still have that. You know, it's not like I eliminated all food.
Right.
But I'm adding in more of the things that I know are going to be nourishing for me rather than just completely cutting things out and eating nothing because I'm in panic mode. I don't know what to eat now. Right. I can't have any of these. And so my mind is just focused on all the things that are bad and no and shame. Right. And instead seeing the juice and the abundance of life in these other foods. And mm-hmm. so reframing the mind to, rather than seeing the bad, right. seeing the vibrancy of what it is that you do want to draw in. And and so, you know, whether it's food or if it's the phone or if it's certain relationships or certain things in our life that it's like, you know, labeling as bad.
Right.
Okay, I understand it's important to set boundaries at the same time, rather opening the perspective to, okay, if that is bad, rather than only seeing that and just cancel culture right. and all out, mm-hmm. like seeing yeah. instead mm-hmm. just there's the attraction of, okay, what is good? How can I draw that in?
That's like that lack mindset versus mm-hmm. abundance mindset. Because mm-hmm. I know for me, I've definitely struggled with food my whole life, ups and downs, and then being shamed as well for what I was eating when it's like, mm-hmm. little does this person know, I'm already struggling. Like, just eat like what is nourishing for my body, so don't shame me for having to eat XYZ. And also, every body is so different. Mm-hmm. You know, food is like a really touchy subject, I feel mm-hmm. like, for me and probably a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. Like, I can feel it in my heart center, even just being vulnerable, speaking about it on here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I really love that you named that, because it's like that abundance. Like, how can I bring in more nutrition into my life instead of shaming me for eating this, and that's bad. This is bad. Like, for example, I mean, yeah, everyone has their own thing, but like veganism for me, I mean, maybe I just haven't done it properly, but I know my body, like I have a faster metabolism. I need like heavier foods. I feel like I need these carbs.
Like your mashed potatoes tonight.
My mashed potatoes. Exactly. I need my carbs. And like, yeah, and just, you know, not shaming these carbs because they're bad to someone else, right? And they're reflecting that on me, but I'm like, that might not be good for you, but like, I'm still going to give that love, nourish, like, and I love food. I'm a foodie. Like, yeah. I want to try it all. Mm-hmm. So like, there's balance, right? Like, balance comes with life, because I believe taste is one of our pleasures. Mm-hmm. Like, we have smell, taste, touch, everything. There's so many sensations, and taste is just a big one for me. I really enjoy, so.
Balance.
Because I'm like, heck yeah, I want to have my ice cream cone, but then, yeah, I'll be mindful and have my juice and eat more veggies, and yeah, I mean, definitely a constant journey, but.
I had a doctor when I was younger, and I loved him, and there was something that he said to me. This was probably 40 years ago, really. And he said, Paula, everything in moderate, anything in moderation. Mm. And man, oh man, that just really opened things up for me, because I was a teenager. I was like 17 or 18 at the time. And I have remembered that and basically lived by that, you know, my entire life, moderation. And I'm pretty healthy.
You're great. You're thriving, mama. Yeah. You're shining. You are thriving.
Pretty healthy. I just got a clean bill of health from my midwife.
Oh, awesome.
And, you know, she said, I had never done cholesterol check before. And she checked my cholesterol and she's like, you're good.
High five.
So can you talk about that? What do you feel like you implement that like when you say healthy, what does that mean to you?
Oh, that's great. So, you know, I feel fortunate because I my divine body has essentially always been healthy and strong. And so, but I've always been, it's interesting because, you know, you identify as a foodie and Maya talks about food. I'm one of those people that I don't really think about food too much. And I had a friend tell me, you have no idea what it's like to think about, be constantly be thinking about what my next meal is going to be.
Yeah.
And so I that's not my experience. And I'm attracted to mostly healthy foods. Like I love greens. Maya and I juiced a lot. I did celery juice for 9 months every morning. And so I'm attracted to those things. Does not mean that I don't love chips. Like I love salt. So I love my chips and I love candy. I still eat that. Moderation though.
Moderation, you know? Yeah.
So I pretty much live by that. But I really attribute, as far as health goes, a lot to my yoga practice and my mindset. I don't think of myself as 57. Like, I still relate to 30-year-olds. I feel...
I didn't even know you were 57.
Yeah, I still feel like that's where I identify as far as an age. I still climb up on the counter to get something up high, and I don't even think about it, you know? It doesn't even occur to me that I shouldn't be doing that, yeah, or that that's not possible for me to do. And so I think that mindset is a huge part of it. But, of course, my yoga practice, and I attribute so much to my yoga practice. You know, for me, my practice is not so much about the physical. Actually, that's just the side benefit. Mine is, it's a much more spiritual practice for me. And that's what attracted me to it 10 years ago, was what I got. I had an epiphany during a class, and I knew that if I could get out of my head at that time, because I felt like I had had a very traumatic day, and I was in Camel and came out of Camel and had a huge release, and I just bawled. But what happened was is that I had an epiphany and got out of my head of what my perceived problem was. And I just knew at that point that if I can get out of my head with this practice, I need to share this. And then I signed up for teacher training. But the point around this was, throughout all of my practicing yoga, for me, the highlight or the essence of it has always been the spiritual practice and the meditation and the mindfulness and that congruence in my body and that unity between the mind, body, and spirit. And so as far as the health benefits from it, yes, I glean that and I receive that. I mean, that's a huge gift. But I think that for me, my health originates in my really in my head, and how I perceive the world in my head, and it's my ideas and thoughts around that that create the wellness in me. And so that's one of the reasons, or the primary reason, that I practice and that I love yoga so much. And so it comes very naturally to want to share that with all of our members. Like, I look at it when we have someone new coming in. I'm thrilled with new people coming in, whether they've practiced before or haven't, that they're giving themselves, they're making themselves a priority, and they can be starting on a new remembrance of themselves, and they can touch, you know, have conscious contact with that essence that is them, and that pure potentiality that is them. And I think that a lot of us can get that through our practice. We can have those moments in our practice where everything in the room is gone and it's just you and your body, right? And it's so meditative.
Absolutely.
So that's my hope. And that's the type of class that I not only enjoy when I can get there myself, but I like to teach too, you know, is I want them to get into a mindful state of being.
Your class is so profound. I took it yesterday. I was like, oh, I really, like I love the space you hold. I mean, you both hold amazing space individually.
Yeah.
But it's powerful. And, you know, I think there's such a huge correlation to mental wellness with your body's wellness too. Like it really,
totally.
I mean, the fact that placebos exist show that our mind controls our healing. So taking that time to look inward, let the walls fade away.
And like, nocebo. Have you heard of nocebo?
No.
Bruce Lipton coined that term.
I like the name. Nocebo.
Yeah, nocebo. Or he's made it popular, but it's also the negative, you know, our negative thoughts.
Okay.
And how that, that also can change the way we experience something. So the placebo is our thoughts are telling us that this is going to work for me.
Okay.
Well, the nocebo is our thoughts telling us this is not good and this will not work. And then the way that we manifest that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
But that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, thoughts become things.
Yes.
Thoughts become things.
Yeah, I was talking to Christine in the lobby today about... we were talking about the nervous system, and I said, can you feel when you are, for lack of better terms, like having a flare-up or your nervous system is being pushed into fight or flight? And she said, oh, yeah, absolutely. Even just talking to you right now, I can feel my toes are starting to wiggle around and then like the surging of energy in my spine, you know, we start to get more tense.
Boy, that's self-aware.
And relive traumas as well. We were talking about the concept in class, how we wrapped ourselves in a hug. And I said, there's some people I can tell when we're holding ourselves, it's very uncomfortable. She was like, well, think about maybe the last time they held themselves. Perhaps it was in despair.
Oh.
So to relive this way of, you know, physically, similar in placebo, but how the body has stored our emotion and stored our trauma, and then to go back into this place and to move back through. And to then again come back to restoring the nervous system to come into it in a safe environment, you know, where we can breathe and soften in that space. And
Well, energetic imprints, right? I mean, think of it, if everything is energy, which that's what quantum physics tells us, then... there is a concentration of energy that makes us this energetic body. And so traumas and sufferings and experiences imprint us, right?
Oh.
And so that really rings true to me, you know, what she said.
Well, and we see it. I mean, you were in Camel, right? You have that huge release. That's very common in Camel.
That's what I thought right away. It's like your heart's cracked open. When I first went to Camel, I would, get dizzy and kind of black out.
I
had to put my, chin to my chest. Like, it really brought a lot of stuff up.
Me too.
You don't realize how much energetically we're really hanging on to.
Well, my teacher trainer said that we store the day's burdens on our shoulders, but life's burden in our hips.
Our hips.
And so as we open the hips up, and that's why, you know, those back bends and Camel in particular, because we can go so deep. A lot of people can access Camel more than standing back bend, right? And so
You somewhat feel safer too because you're closer to the ground.
Down by the ground, you're on the ground. And so anyhow, and that has always rang true to me, and this was before obviously my teacher training when I had that experience, but now I love Camel. And you know, I'll often say, if you are resisting this, you need it more, you know. And And so much through our lives, that is the case. If we find ourselves, and that's where that checking in comes, right? If I find myself in resistance or I find myself being triggered by something, it needs some, I believe that it's an opportunity for self-examination or self, again, remembrance.
Right.
And so same with an asana, a posture. If there's something that we find resistance about a particular one, oh, this is, you know, my nemesis, this one, every time, then, you know, what is that about? You know,
right.
It's an opportunity. We can take it or leave it, you know, but do we want to explore it a little bit? And I think that we have those opportunities throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we come back to that whole thing about having blinders on and just getting through our day, because we are missing all of these opportunities to actually be experiencing not only ourselves, but our environment, our community, the world at large. Mm-hmm. We are putting such definitive boundaries up for ourselves. And of course, we all know boundaries is a big key word lately, you know, people talking about their boundaries. But I believe we're meant to live. Like, we are meant to connect. We are connected,
mm-hmm.
but we're meant to connect on a more profound, you know, experience.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that's what we're coming out of, you know. I think that it feels strange to say this, but I truly believe it. I believe COVID has been a gift for us. And that is that, we've had the contrast, the deep contrast of separation and isolation. And we now know on a global scale, not just as a individual or even as a family or even as a kula or community or a city or a state or a country, globally we have now learned what it's like to be isolated,
mm-hmm.
and what it's like to be cut off from our fellow human being. And I think we, for the most part, can agree that it doesn't feel good and we don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel natural to us. And we need to move beyond that. And we need to, you know, realize that this is not how we're meant to live.
Mm-hmm.
We're meant to live in community, and we're meant to live in unity. And that is our true nature. And so I feel like soul health is, a really wonderful manifestation of that idea. And the fact that there's just so many parallels here, because the fact that we birthed it through the middle of this
right.
pandemic.
Yeah.
And, we signed the lease January 16th to begin on the 1st of February. We had started our tenant improvements for 3 weeks, and then we got shut down.
Wow.
And so we were shut down for 4 weeks.
Five weeks,
which was very difficult to take, because time is ticking.
Right.
And,
we have bills to pay.
Bills to pay.
You invested so much money in this space, creating
yes.
it. And then it's like, okay, you invest all this money now. Hold on.
Exactly.
Wait, we're not going to, you can't enjoy the fruits of your labor yet.
Yeah. So we wanted to open, by a certain date.
And we succeeded.
And we did succeed. Mm-hmm. We wanted to open by the 1st of August. We wanted 6 months of tenant improvements.
Okay.
And
even with our 5 weeks of complete shutdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, complete. We couldn't have anybody work at that point. Well, we were at a stage where nobody could work. Like, yeah. So anyhow.
And you were pretty pregnant at the time, too, weren't
I
you?
I had him the week that COVID happened.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember how everything unfolded, but they started with hair salons.
Okay.
And nail salons. So that happened on Monday, the 15th, I think it was, March 15th. Yeah. And he was born on Thursday, the 19th.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. And I know my office, I work in a dental office, they shut on the 18th.
Okay.
We all shut down on the 18th.
Yeah. It was Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it did. You know, it was very challenging, and it was an interesting time period for us because Maya was giving birth to Hawthorne. And that whole story about Maya continuing to give birth as we
were
coinciding with this, because that happened 4 years ago too. That's another story, but the fact is that so we opened in the middle of this, and before we even opened, this is the community, this is the Kula. We had almost 80 members that had invested in us before we even opened.
Oh, my gosh.
And we knew that there was a need for it. But the gift of COVID was people discovered just how much they needed their Kula and their community. And they needed that union.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have been building ever since. Locked us down again, which we
many times.
They just kept you know.
But you guys kept thriving.
We kept thriving.
Yeah, and I kept showing up.
Yeah, right.
This is a spiritual gathering.
Yes,
let's just say that.
That's right.
This is for our mental health.
And you know what? We felt very justified in saying that it was a spiritual gathering because for me, every time I gather, it's a spiritual gathering.
Absolutely. So
there's that correlation of the walking meditation.
There you go, right? Full circle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that kind of is the gift. The gift is that we have had that contrast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the most part, the globe, the inhabitants on Gaia, you know, realize on some level that they want to be connected. And they want to cultivate those connections, and I feel like that was always our idea, that we would be a gathering place, and that's why our lobby is so large, because we want people to linger, we want people to develop relationships amongst themselves,
mm-hmm.
we want different members to support the other members, you know, we want them to be able to say, hey, I'm a you know, I cut hair.
I'm a window washer.
Yeah, I'm a window, whatever, right?
So many offerings, even the astrology readings.
Exactly.
You can do kids stuff here. You
right.
You can do breath work, body and work, massage.
There's the connections, right?
Yes.
And so that network just keeps building and building. And that's what we saw. And we knew that there was a need for it, but it became even more apparent you know, the experience of last year. So, you know, the other thing is we've been recently talking with Maya not having a phone and talking about having someone help with, we need a lot of help right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize that we have done a great job birthing this baby.
Mm-hmm.
But now we need help. And so we just reached out.
Hire the nanny for the baby.
Yeah, right. And so we just reached out to the Kula, you know? Yeah. And and that feels really good because
we've done a really good job. We're at a point now where we've done such a good job that it's okay that we're not intertwined with every single aspect.
Mm-hmm.
We've built it to a place where it's now safe for us to step back and lose our phone, and it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Surrender and trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trust.
Trust. Mm-hmm. Trust.
And also trust our you know, trust, yes, the word, absolutely. Trust our team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The people who are wanting to be part of the team are so generous with their heart and mm-hmm. the way that they show up in the space. You know, it's, and again, it's not just the team of teachers and service providers. It's Everyone who walks in the door, the intention that people have coming into the space, whether or not they're the ones that are literally hosting the time there or just
participating,
holding space in the lobby together. It's trusting, you know, the people that we're attracting into the space to hold the space together.
Absolutely. Definitely.
We truly have a co-creation.
And I think most people feel it when they come in. And, you know, and Maya and I have talked about this retention of membership and, you know, what that means to us. And the reality is that the conclusion that we've come to is that we have attrition of membership, but we are trusting that it's that at this point we're not a match, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming out of that more survival instinct that, well, we've got to be able to sustain.
Right.
I mean, that is important that we sustain, that we're not
we need to be
bleeding
a match
every
for
month.
Everyone.
Yeah. And knowing that we're not a match for everyone. And so that's kind of been you know, a realization that we've had is, okay, we're gonna lose this person, but you know, as far as membership goes, but it's okay. It's okay because right now, for whatever reason, we're not a match. And so, you know, you spoke very about intention.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's where a lot of this is coming from, is mm-hmm. that we are setting a really high bar of intention here. You know, and again, I think on some level, people feel it when they walk in.
Mm-hmm.
They either feel like this is home or they feel resistance.
Yeah.
And either or is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Truly.
Yeah.
It's okay if they have resistance and it's not for them.
And we always encourage, too, if someone is parting ways
mm-hmm.
of, you know, we hope you continue the practice.
Yes.
Ultimately, it is a practice. And we really try to hold that space here of the element of a practice.
Yes.
And the teachings that come out of the practice. I mean, there's multitude of different ways that we can practice.
Yes.
And we talked upon the mental aspects, the emotional aspects, absolutely. The spiritual aspects. Of course, there's the physical aspects that a lot of people are drawn into. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, we hope that you continue to practice whatever way you can benefit you, yourself, in health and mm-hmm. well-being.
Yes.
And continue to explore that within yourself and,
mm-hmm.
and expand it to others.
Mm-hmm.
We always want what's best for for each person.
100%. Mm-hmm. And just thinking from a business mindset too, like that trusting that if it's not right for this person at that time, you know, you are calling in like the people who are right for this
That's
space
right.
and calling in the people who are ready to do the work
mm-hmm.
and journey
mm-hmm.
inward. Because it's so much more, like you said, people come for the physical,
mm-hmm.
but then once you feel everything else and
mm-hmm.
start integrating the intention and bringing meaning to all these little things,
yes.
it's like, whoa, it's
yeah.
just prolific, just boom, boom, boom,
yeah.
ripple effects.
Yes.
You know, and yeah,
mm-hmm.
I wish everyone wellness. And like
mm-hmm.
you said, I just wish you continue the journey to keep looking inward. And,
yeah.
you know, it's interesting if someone feels resistance, like you said earlier, it's almost that trigger of what is this trying to teach me right now?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I resistant to sitting with myself?
Mm-hmm.
Or why is this person triggering me because they're happy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
little, yeah, just so many.
The mirror.
The mirror, right? That's the card you pulled, the mirror. Yeah.
Twice. Pulled it yesterday and then today. Yeah.
That's a powerful deck.
Yeah, really, for sure.
And I feel like you already shared a little bit of your mirror reflections
mm-hmm.
you've been experiencing. I don't know if you wanted to share any more on that, but.
Well, I think, you know, we talked about just doing the work recently
mm-hmm.
and the idea behind that card is, you know, when you are encountering someone and whether it's a trigger or, you know, a happiness, they are a mirror reflection of you, right? And so,
yes.
again, it's that self-reflection, like, why is it I'm feeling the way that I am right now? And either allowing myself to do that or, you know, exploring the resistance further. And mm-hmm. so therein lies the work. Mm-hmm. And so I know that I have an opportunity constantly to be doing the work, and it's just how much energy can I put into it, yeah. right? At any
how
given
day.
How
uncomfortable do you want to get?
Exactly, mm-hmm. right? How deep do I want to go with it, yeah. and how prolonged? And because some of these, some of this work takes years or whatever,
lifetimes.
Right?
Yeah,
lifetimes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Have grace with yourself.
Yes, for yeah. sure.
Oh, yeah. And I know, Maya, you pulled the card on, was it something about a great gathering?
Yeah.
Any reflections you want to share on that? You can say no. Healthy no's are okay. But
no, I think I the what was coming out of it for me, and I'll just keep talking about my stinking phone.
Hey, everything has
such
a reason, right?
It's such a big part of my life right now. And what it's done for me is those little connections throughout the day that I would make, or like, hey, thinking about you, or did you see how big that cow was? Like, yeah. that cow must be pregnant. Like, I've been wanting to reach out to my mom. Every time I pass this big cow, it's like, you're seeing this thing, right? Like, you know. But what it's done is created a gathering place for me when in physical presence with someone to be present. And it's encouraged me in communication to be able with presence to show up in a space of more love. And I find that with communication with my phone, there was a barrier with how I would connect with others. It wasn't, my whole message wasn't being fully received by the person. Mm. They weren't feeling my whole self. And now when I'm in presence with someone, because that's what I have to do now, is be more in person, or I'm FaceTiming with my laptop, and my message is coming across more clear. And the concept of gathering in physical presence, I feel, and I have dates throughout the summer that I want to have gatherings, and I'm drawn, we're talking about retreats now, and these bigger events and gatherings in person to feel connection, physical connection, rather than having to use this device for that connection, and it being the telephone, right?
Yeah.
It's the telephone. The message isn't completely, you know, that it, game, right? Where you pass it around.
Yeah, it gets
a
little distorted.
Right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the same thing on communications online. You read some of the things, and it's like, if you were face-to-face,
would you?
This would not be coming out. This message would not. Yeah. It's so different when you have a conversation with someone in person, face to face. You're able to feel them and empathize with them, and the deep darkness, to me, I see it as the phone, the barrier there gets in the way from that heart-centered connection, and it's tapping back into that in a space of gathering, and as you know, we're being encouraged not to do that,
right?
And we
are going to gather still. Don't care. Love you. We are healthy. We are thriving. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, sign me up for your retreat. Yeah. I'll be the first one there.
We love retreats. Yeah. That's one of our favorite things.
I've never been one. To intention, right?
Yeah.
Like, retreats hold an intention on a larger scale, you know, rather than 75 minutes, you have one full week with someone to integrate.
Yes. All of it. I literally feel it in my womb when you were saying, I mean, I do have to go pee, but I also, I did feel it in my womb of like, I can already see us on like, I don't even know what you'd call it, like a bungalow in the jungle, like just practicing in the middle of nature, being able to be, get all this stuff away.
Yep.
You know, like you even said, being in the other shala, like you don't see the cars, you don't have these other things coming in. So just stripping everything away, being present with the message, putting meaning breathing into things, integrating it with your kula.
It's extremely intense, but in a good, in a very good way. You know, the support that you have to for that self-discovery.
And it can bring about some pretty deep shadows
When you people have work that through a lot
amount of time. We've had a lot of divorces happen after retreats.
Oh, yeah. And, breakups. But love affairs as well. You know, discovering love. And
a lot of addiction tends to come out when you're with someone with 7 days detoxing from addiction. Right. Or the addiction comes to the forefront and really shines a space, a time and space, you know, to have time and space to really, again, there's the mirror to view yourself and hold space for yourself to show up.
Well, and we also encourage, at least in the past, we've we have a lot of excursions for endorphins, you know, for the fun and the adventure and getting out in nature. But in addition, we really encourage a lot of body work as well. And so we realize that we're doing yoga a couple times a day. And we do a lot of discussion and a lot of exercises that give you opportunity to go deep. But in addition to that, like in San Pancho, when we did several down there, we had a shaman that we worked with, and he did a lot of body work for all of us. He was profound.
When you say body work, do you mean like...
He would do energy work, energy healing. And then we also had a lot of massage therapy as well. Nice. So, you know, we were really trying to work with the triad. So the mind, body, and spirit on a lot of the retreats. And... you know, it's a very sacred space to share with a group of people, you know, 15, 20 people for 7 days. You tend to get very intimate with one another. We have a lot of opportunity for sharing. We've had people share stuff that, you know, they've admitted they've never shared out loud before, men and women. And, you know, the hope is that you're creating such a safe and sacred space that they feel they can do that. But it's work that Maya and I really, you know, love to do because it is so rewarding to see transformations, you know, and for ourselves as well. You know, each one of those participants touches us in some way with a deep connection.
And we have to show up in a way, you know, there's that mirror again. And so we can just reflect it right back to them, or we can show up in a way that they're able to see themselves differently. And in order for them to see themselves differently, we have to show up in a way that they can see it within us and we see it within them, and helping to pull certain aspects out of themselves. In order for them to do that, we have to do it as well. We have to pull these aspects out for the reflection to be within them. So it really holds our standards up, and the expectation of us that we have, you know, for the space. We have to level up in order to be able to hold such a safe container for them to have the appropriate feelings, because we've had times too where it gets out of hand and you know, we're not
We weren't, we didn't have the tools to handle some of the stuff that was coming up for a particular person, or you know, having such a release that I realized at that moment, I'm not qualified to help her.
It's almost like you need medical attention there as well.
Psychological. Yeah.
And we did. We had a counselor.
We did have a counselor.
We were working with. Okay. It was so, there. And so we can
help with the mental health.
Yeah.
Piece.
But I realized I'm not, I can't do this.
Like Pandora's box kind of opened up a little bit.
And yeah, that's what happens in a safe space, right? You have people who are releasing, and there's the possibility that I think in trauma work, mm-hmm. right, we've talked about certain postures that will trigger people in certain ways. I think it's important to hold the space of, would you like to work on this? Is mm-hmm. this something that is appropriate to put yourself in a place of vulnerability? Do you mm-hmm. feel safe enough to be vulnerable in this space? Is it benefiting you mm-hmm. to move forward with this back bend, as an example, or, yeah. or whatever the pose may be? In that space, though, it can re-traumatize if it's not, if the space isn't being held properly. And so I think, you know, this is a lesson for us of how we hold space and in a loving way to where it's not going to re-traumatize someone because we're saying, you're uncomfortable. There's opportunity for growth here. Are you ready? Okay. Do you feel safe enough? Right. To be ready, you know, when you did your back bend, you're in a place where you felt safe enough to allow things to move through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's deeper than that. It can go deeper yes. of you know, it's time for things to surface and, yeah. and explore. Mm-hmm. You know, working with humans is interesting, though,
because complicated,
unlike right? the technology, right, that's pretty cut and dry. Like, it's pretty straightforward with what you're receiving. The humans, I mean, we're much more complex than that, right. cut and dry, and the multitude of different things that are intertwined into yeah. continuously creating existence. It's constantly evolving.
And, yes.
and shifting, and depending on who we're surrounded with and who's holding space with us and the mirrors and the perspectives yeah. and there's a lot of variables
right
that go into holding space with people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys for doing the work. Thank you for holding the space. Thank you. Yeah. See, like, you gotta try it to mm-hmm. figure it out, right? Like,
yeah, no, I mean, we learned a lot from that, mm-hmm. you know, that particular instance. We learned a lot from that.
That was an interesting group.
Because it was.
Was that in Mexico?
It was. I think that was our last one that we did in Mexico, yeah.
Ooh.
And that was it for Mexico mm-hmm. after that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. yeah, there was a lot of things surfacing. Yeah.
yeah. A lot of room for growth, yeah. like you said. Yeah. Time for reflections. And also, that's why May is Mental Health Awareness Month.
Oh.
So it's so important to like look into therapy, look into counseling, mm-hmm. like look to a mental health advisor, someone mm-hmm. who can help you, because we all got our own.
Look to nature.
Nature therapy. Yeah. Yes. I want you guys to meet my dear sister, India. I'm going to interview her next. Aww. I'm going to see her next week in Colorado, and she's a wilderness therapist.
Nice.
So not only is she like, you know, heals yeah. people through therapy, but bridges psychology with spirituality.
Fantastic.
Healing people in nature.
Oh, I love
working
it.
Working with kids.
Oh, like, I love
it. So I'm thinking
it.
Next retreat, let me just bring her. Her name's yeah. India, too. Maybe we can hold it in India.
Wow.
But, and then she cool. can be the mental health piece there.
That's but beautiful.
It's so beautiful. And just being aware, like honoring everybody and their journey and wherever mm. they are at, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Like,
well, it's that 7.5 billion again. Right?
Right.
So like, we were just talking about
yes,
that.
Yes, that we're all yeah. connected. There's 7.5 billion
Yeah, but just people. The, I was telling Corinne earlier that anytime my ego wants to go to judging someone, a perception that I have of someone, I remind myself that there are only so many room for so many souls here on Gaia. And right now it's, 7.5 or 7.7 billion. And when you, if you believe the concept that there are an infinite amount of souls or concentrations of energy, conglomerations of energy that create a, what we would refer to as a soul, we are so fortunate to be the 7.5 that are here. Mm. And so I think about how courageous and intentional each one of them are to be here. It's no mistake that each soul is here at this time. as we transition, in my belief, to this awareness or awakening that's happening, you know, on a global scale. And so I just remind myself, yes, you're one of the 7.5 and you elected to be here right now. You made that conscious effort to be here at this time when I think that it could be a difficult time to be here.
Right.
And, you know, kudos to you. Mm. Courageous one, curious one, yes, for being here right now.
Absolutely.
And so that kind of puts me back in check, you yep. know, to that whole idea of judging them for whatever it is my ego wants to judge them about.
Mm-hmm. And then judging, you know, by extension, judging yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. For that aspect of them that you have no desire to be of yourself. Mm. You're not wanting yourself to intertwine in that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Powerful. I am about to pee my pants, yeah. But you guys can keep going. I'm not even going to stop it yet, so I'll just be right back.
Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
I'd like to thank you and Corinne for this opportunity to gather together and kind of exchange communication, expression in a mindful way. I feel really fortunate any time where I can have a much deeper conversation as opposed to, you know, just superficial conversation. I find that I'm not really interested so much anymore in superficial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the ability to sit down, it definitely came up with me last time I was with her and sitting down, and there wasn't necessarily any specific topics that we were supposed to talk about, and just being authentic with the space and whatever it was that came up in the space, and being authentic and showing up with presence in the space and allowing that to be okay to be here and to be present and to mingle and they're intertwine again, to weave ourselves together through conversation and reflection and how we kind of bounce things off of each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so that it feels more authentic as well, doesn't it? You know, not having an actual controlled agenda. This is what we want to talk about, and there's a place for that, but it feels much more organic, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to speak to each other and then let the conversation flow, mm-hmm. because I think it's reflective of really what we want to emulate right now is just being in the flow and not feeling that restriction or the resistance, not being resistant to life and just allowing for it to flow through us.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm back.
Yay.
Okay. Well, I don't even know how long we've been on here yet. It's 2:11 though, so I think we... Mm-hmm. I can't even tell at this, but it's recording. Yeah.
Okay.
But any last pieces you guys want to share with the amazing tribe out there?
Mm.
Anything coming to your heart that...
Yeah, I feel that concept of coming to the heart. I think that's really important for us to have reminders continuously to come into the heart and connect our hearts with other people and find different variations of how we can do that, whether it be communication or touch or however it is that, you know, we can do that. But I feel like through the shift right now in the world, it's important that we continuously check back into the heart and by extension, the connection of love and union to love within 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 us and outside of us and flowing through us. And it's really important that we show up in that way right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Thank
Agreed.
You.
Agreed. The you know, relating it to the heart chakra, the bridge, like we are. I feel like we're coming, we've been moving through, and there's been a lot of talk about moving into 4D, right, which is unity consciousness. And so that would be coming from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole concept and idea of going within, when we relate to ourselves, we don't point to our head, you know. We bring our hand to our heart. I mean, that's the natural place, right, that we mm-hmm. would go. And so, you know, it's believed that this is the concentration of the soul, or where the soul resides, right? Mm. And so I think what Maya says is absolutely a truth, that, you know, come from the heart, be in the heart, you know, explore those nuances of the heart. And I think as long as we're going inward, we're doing ourselves and society a real favor.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. Mm-hmm. Dipping into the heart. Can't go wrong when you're coming from the heart.
That's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love you guys so much.
Love you.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This has been so powerful. And just, I know there's so many codes of love, of wisdom, of intention. So thank you for bringing this to the world, one little ear at a time. And I'll have to have you guys on again, and maybe you can share more about your story too, because we didn't really dip much into that. But that's okay, because I feel like everything that was presented today was exactly what everyone needed. So thanks again for sharing your
thanks
souls.
For the opportunity. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Fun to gather.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and more gatherings to
Soul
come.
Health is hiring.
Yes.
So if you're interested in working with us, then send us an email.
Yeah. All right. You know, this is a great place, so I encourage you to come on by.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you guys again.
Thank you.
Wishing everyone the best day ever. We love you.
Mwah. Love you.
Thank you.
Adios.
If you enjoyed this podcast, reach out. You can leave a comment, review, subscribe. You can find me on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so much more. I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, and have my own website. It's Celestial Goddess Podcast. That is spelled CELESTIALGODDESS. Also, if you feel called to donate, please feel free. I appreciate all the support to grow and to reach more people. I'm just grateful we're growing together and we're doing the work together. So thank you for being here. I love you forever.